This is episode 18 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Dana Louise's book, This Is Gonna Sound Weird, an awakening memoir. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such fascinating information that never makes it into the podcast. And here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to read from the third chapter, which is titled, How Many Shades of Grey? And this is what Dana has written. The windows in my room had old-fashioned pull-down shades made from thick paper. A magnetic system held the level in place. Gently pulling up or down would magically keep the screen at that height. Tugging too hard released the clutch too quickly, making the shade retract all the way up. It would flip over and over the roller tube loudly. It's fun when you're a kid, but letting it fly didn't amuse the parents as much. You're going to break it. This was always the announcement of their arrival. In the middle of the night, completely on its own, the shade would suddenly release. Spinning over and over, the sound woke me. It should have roused the rest of the house, but nope, only me. My body would jump. My eyes were drawn to the misbehaving shade. The first time I remember wondering, why did it go up like that? Even as a babe, I knew something was wrong. Each time I was startled awake by this commotion, frozen in shock, I laid there. I could see that no one was standing inside the room. I was alone. This wasn't a prank being played by my siblings. It was too late for them to be up. Coming from outside, a bright beam of light inspected my room now that the shade was up. This wasn't a flashlight or a car's headlight. A car would travel on a level line then slowly fade away. You'd also hear a motor humming. No, this beam went up, down and all around. It was bizarrely white. I've never seen such a white. It was strong like a spotlight, but not that huge. Maybe a foot in diameter? I watched as it proceeded along the walls and ceiling, searching, hovering. It moved quickly and disjointedly. I'm not sure if it only showed up this one time. The window itself was closed and locked as far as I knew. There was no way to jimmy it from the outside. I never heard it slide up. It was old and heavy, and not easy to lift, so there would be some grunting involved. If there was a person outside, I would have noticed them. They'd clumsily climb in and plop onto the floor like a walrus. Not an easy task. They'd have to pop out the screen first or cut it. So much logistics. What evil-doing dork would make a humming noise the neighbours could hear and shine a bright beam around during their evil intent? A clown? A mime? Or like a juggler? It would take a lot of balls. And total control. Then, I don't even want to say this, in the window a very large, hairless, bulbous head was staring at me. How did it get up there? Was it floating in the air? It had to be off the ground to peek in. You'd need a ladder. It looked like a misshapen grey balloon, round at the top with a much smaller, pointy bottom. Two big, black, almond-shaped eyes stared back at me. Did they blink? Because they didn't seem to have eyelids. There was no nose. Only a hole for breathing was in the sinus area. The mouth was a small skin flap or something, with no lips or teeth. Just a flimsy flap. It seemed to be smiling at me, but not a totally nice smile. Nice. Doesn't mean good anyway. Next came the soft sound of rasping paper. Scurrying bodies were about. Somehow more than one got in. Lots of commotion commenced that I could hear but couldn't see. Why were they bumping into each other? It sounded like that. Or was it the noise of something else? I think there was a scent too, but I've forgotten it. Everything felt weird. The air crackled alive with static. Was it static or magnetics emitting from the ship, making the window shade become unhinged? Only in my room? No other windows were affected. Vibrations shook the mattress underneath me. No one else could feel it. Jen did, but she was next door. My bedroom was next to my parents and sister who never woke up. My brother's room was underneath mine. Where is everyone? Then, over the crib railing, they began to appear. The balloon faces were looking down at me. My God, they aren't normal. The secrets began. They were otherworldly. If they spoke or conveyed a message, I've long forgotten it. I probably wouldn't trust what they said anyway. After they'd gathered, I'd blank out. This took place many times. I grew familiar with the drill, the window shade, thinking, oh no, them, they're back. Then blacking out. Each new visit validated the previous. And Jenny Jo was next door experiencing it too. The intruder's skin looked pretty fragile, paper-like. It could have been rubbery. I don't recall touching them or being touched, but I know that it happened. I can't stand to be touched lightly. My body memory system seems to take over in a knee-jerk reaction. I snap right back to those moments. Don't unexpectedly enter a room or quietly come up behind me, or I'll jump. Getting a massage is fine after I explain that my body needs firm contact at all times, sort of like a horse. There was nothing to stop them. Even if my parents held me in their arms, it wouldn't have mattered. They have powers that we don't have, know, or understand. By the time I was a toddler, it seemed like I could have kicked their ass on any given day if given half the chance, because I was bigger than them now. While they seem physically pathetic, don't mess with these big bulbous buttheads, especially on a psychic level. All things visible and invisible, super fun, right? Even in the throes of it, I never cried out for help. I'm not sure if I could. I was a baby. I silently took it in. I saw them. I laid there, watching, surrendering, blacking out, end scene. Meeting them was frightening. Wouldn't most people poo their pants? I probably did, but luckily I had diapers on. Over time, the visits shifted. There's a dim memory of being led around the house when I could walk. What were we up to? Our dog was tied up outside. I don't recall her barking. She could have. My dad put her down. She became aggressive towards the kids in the street if they came into our yard without us there. Was her demeanour an outcome of the visits? I asked my parents, 40 years later, if they remembered anything. They said no. My older sister also reported nothing. My brother believes there's no other life in space, so I took that as a big no. I never bothered to ask him. How many people have been in physical contact with a grey? Multiple times, or seen more than one, or more than one type of being. How many children are out there who have? A troop of greys alone with a baby. What are they up to? Babies are an easy target. Did I lay there, stunned, until the next morning? Of course I did. This thought makes me profoundly sad. How did that look? What was I to them? There were no physical marks left on me, so how could anyone know that a child had been visited? Now that I'm a mum, I look at this scenario with different eyes. To think of your infant self, or any infant, having to silently deal with this sort of interruption blows my mind. Hard enough for a grown adult to deal with it. No one is geared to handle this type of trauma. I never escaped my crib, even when I was big enough. I'd cry for help and wait for rescue. My mother was chatting outside or on the phone when I napped. I didn't know she could hardly hear me. I chewed the top rail of my crib like a beaver as I waited. One time I bumped my erupting gums. I never made that mistake again. How could I express that I needed to be out of that cage? Come rescue me. Between the visits, the memory of them drifted away until the next. Then a voice told me I needed to remember. I wanted to ignore that voice and forget. Retaining the memories was always a struggle, but for some reason it now seemed really important to remember. Like a balloon string slipping through my fingers, I tried to hang on. I'd forget, and then the voice would whisper, "Remember. Remember, remember. Remember. Come back to the group. Remember." As I grew older, the experiences would bubble up now and then. And then they'd float away. It was like a spell. It was a spell. It was circular. None of this existed in the rest of the world. I felt like an outsider in this 3D world and alone. So this week I was reading from Dana Louise's book, This Is Gonna Sound Weird, An Awakening Memoir. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support this podcast is to sign up to Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFOPodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.